Consider what divorce will say to your children. Now, they're the ones who will be affected most seriously and for the longest time if you go through the divorce proceedings. Think about this. What do you do if your marriage is broken? What do you do if it seems to be broken beyond repair? Well, you work on repairing it in spite of the appearances. You see, your marriage is not like an electrical appliance in your home. If that wears out, you discard it and replace it with another model. But not so marriage. You made a lifetime commitment, till death do us part, when you exchanged the vows of marriage. And those vows, taken with both God and people as witnesses, must not be thrust aside so easily. Your marriage commitment is more binding than that. So if your marriage seems to be broken, get to work repairing it. Here are some suggestions on how to repair a broken marriage. First, don't even think about leaving your mate. Look for a remedy, not an escape. I could not count the times couples have come to me supposedly for counsel to help with the problems of their marriage, and I cannot count the times that they have come after having already decided that divorce was the only recourse. They come simply to get me, as a minister of the gospel, to salve their consciences by saying it was all right with God for them to go ahead with the divorce. I wish I could honestly say that in every instance the couple were reconciled and the marriage was saved. But the truth is that the marriage was saved in some instances and not in others. I can truthfully say that in many instances the couple was reconciled. Now, one of the first things that I tell a couple in a situation is this. If you want to preserve your marriage, do not consider divorce as an option. As long as you hold that door open as a way to escape, you will not work diligently at preserving your union. So I say to you who are having problems in your marriage, do not consider separation as an option unless there are innocent persons who are endangered. But if you do separate, do not follow through with divorce until every possible remedy has been exhausted. Remember, God hates divorce. Second, reject all feelings of self-pity. Perhaps you feel you're not being treated justly. The truth is, we do not need justice, we need mercy. And it is so easy to feel that you are the offended partner and that your mate bears all the blame. But when a breach is suffered in the marriage union, there is no truly innocent party. Neither Adam nor Eve would take the blame for their sin in the Garden of Eden. You see, Adam blamed Eve for having offered him the fruit, and Eve blamed the serpent for tempting her to eat the fruit. And it is so easy for you to place all the blame on your mate and to feel yourself to be the innocent and aggrieved party. But refuse to harbor such negative feelings. There is a better way than self-pity. Third, accept responsibility for your part of the problem. You may not have initiated it, but that is not the issue. The important thing is, how do you respond to it? I remember a wife saying of her husband, "I get so upset at him. Sometimes I want to fuss and he won't fuss back at me." You see, it's impossible for one person to give an offense if the other person will not take offense. Even if your mate is wrong in what he or she said or did, are you right in your response to it? You cannot change the other person, or you would have done that already, but you can change yourself. So accept responsibility for your part of the problem. Four, stop all criticism and work on communication. Now, communication is a key to restoring broken relationships. Talk. Talk calmly. Talk without making accusations. Talk without taking offense. Talk without getting angry. Speak the truth, but speak it in love. You've tried to fuss over the problem and it grew worse. Now, try talking around the problem and permit the wound to heal over before you touch it again. Fifth, completely forgive all offenses and offenders. Now, that's very difficult, but it's absolutely essential. Someone says, I can forgive, but I cannot forget. Well, no one requires you to forget. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It is surrendering the right to hold that issue against a person ever again for the rest of your life. Even if the same offense is repeated, you do not take up the previous times it was committed. There will never be that proverbial straw that broke the camel's back if you will not keep that camel loaded with remembrance of past offenses which are unforgiven. An unforgiving spirit is a burden you cannot afford to bear. Sixth, renew your love for your mate. Even if you feel that you do not love him or her anymore, you can still renew your love. Take a pen, a paper, write down all the strengths of your mate. Write down what attracted you to him or her in the first place. Think of how you can please your mate by doing the little things that he or she enjoys. Forget about your preferences and concentrate on making life a joy for your partner in marriage. As you devote yourself to serving your mate in love, your love will increase. Affirm in your own mind that you love your partner and you want to maintain the marriage, and God will help you do it. Seventh, find out what God is saying to you through the conflict. Is he working to break your pride or to humble a self-righteous spirit in you? Is he showing you what genuine love is, the kind of love he has for those who reject him? Is he creating in you a servant heart that is willing to do good for people who do bad to you? Is he making you more in the image of Jesus, who loved us and died for us when we were his enemies? Your greatest spiritual growth may come as you work through your marriage problems. But if you run from them by divorce, not working through them, you'll fail to grow and will fall short of what God wants to do in your life. Eighth, consider what divorce will say to your children. Now, they're the ones who will be affected most seriously and for the longest time if you go through the divorce proceedings. Think about this. Divorce teaches them that marriage is a matter of convenience. It's not a solemn and sacred covenant before God, and therefore it can be entered or broken at will. Divorce teaches them to run from their problems rather than face them and work through them. And someday they may do exactly what you have done in seeking the divorce court. Divorce teaches that a vow made before God is not binding. It is to be kept only when it is convenient and comfortable. Divorce teaches that there are some problems God cannot solve. If he could solve all problems, then divorce would not be necessary. You could commit it to God and work through it, and it could be solved. But divorce teaches the children to choose between their parents. It deprives them of the influence of both father and mother in the home. It subconsciously influences their attitude toward members of the opposite sex. It lessens the chance of their having a happy married life later on. And is it worth all that for you to flee from your present problems? Father, sometimes the problems faced in marriage seem almost insurmountable, and they're often beyond our ability to solve. Therefore, we call on you to help us. Give grace to those who have hurts in marriages, that they may work through them and preserve their homes for the glory of God. Help us to have homes that reflect you, for Jesus' sake. Amen.